This week's Torah Away has been sponsored Le'ilu Nishmas, Rebbe Ephraim Fishel, Ben Rebbe Yoel Aryeh, Zecher Livracha. Yud Ches Iyar, Monday the 29th of April, Rabbi Shmuel Zilberberg, Tara Samidos in Sefiras HaOmer.
Mariah Rabbeitzai, the topic today is how to cleanse our negative characteristics, correct our morals, B'maya Sphira, we're counting the Sphira, in preparation for Kabbalah Satara. It really is not a simple matter. From where actually do we have these negative characteristics? When the Kodesh Baruch Hu created man, Shlomo Melech tells us in Kehelet, he was Yushar, he was without a blemish, he was perfect. Where did all of a sudden we receive these negative traits? The explanation is very deep, and I'm not going to go too much into it, but just to give us an idea of what we're talking about. Every Jew has a neshuma, chaylik alakam emal. We have a divine neshuma, soul, which is a part of Hashem. And that's located in our brain, in our moyach. But we also have what is called nefesh behemis, an animalistic type of soul. Where did we get this? But when Udam Rishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, the tree of good and bad, all of a sudden there became an entrance in us of this nefesh behemis. And the truth of the matter is, Yechezkel, in the first chapter, if you read there he talks about the klippas, the shells, which are obstruction to holiness. And one of them is the noiga loisuvit. It's called klippas noiga. Klippas noiga is a type of a shell which is translucent. The light can go through, but you can't see through. Why is it that way? Because this shell is mainly bad, but it has some good in it. Every Jew's nefesh behemit gets its power from klippas noiga. And we are occupied with klippas noiga every minute of the day. Our eating, and our drinking, and our sleeping, and practically every activity is materialistic, and we're giving power to klippas noiga. Midas, the negative traits, are from this klippas noiga. Why? Because it's made of four parts. Aish, fire. Aish causes anger by people. When someone gets angry, which is very negative, it's because of the fire that gives that activity. A person is conceited. That's also derived from the midah ish. Mayim causes tavis, desires, negative desires. Then there's riach. People waste their time. It's from riach, from the wind, which is a part of that clip, that shell. And also being cracking jokes which aren't proper, etc., etc. And the last is ufor. Ufor is earth, dirt. And actually what it causes is to be lazy, to be depressed. All these negative characteristics are derived in the nefesh behemot. And I'm telling you, we're not talking about people who are very not special. Even people who are learning and are davening and are occupied in a lot of good things, but to work on their midis, on their characteristic, very few are working on their midis. Once I saw in a sefer that one of the Meshgichim in Panovich, Shiva Panovich, was very, very ill, and the doctor told him he has cancer, he has 3 months. So he walked into Rav Shach, and he said to him, "What should I do in these 3 months? 3 months! Should I learn a whole day? Should I say Tillim a whole day? What should I do?" He said, "You want to do the right thing? Work on your midos. That's what Rav Shach told him. Work on to make polish your traits even more. And this was a mashgiach, so someone that was in charge to help others work in this field. In order to clarify and to give you a little understanding of what I'm talking about, I'm going to tell you a story. They tell us that in Russia, it was a very wealthy man called Reb Dunish. This Reb Dunish was a millionaire, and he had a lot of money. And what was the specialty by this Reb Dunish? Because he was very plain, he wasn't a Talmud Chucham or anything special. What was his specialty? That when Reb Yosef Yoizel from the Vardik came in and requested assistance, tzedakah, for Torah, for Chasudim, you know what the man did? This Reb Dunish walked over to his wall safe, opened it up, and said, Rebbe, take whatever you want. Whatever you want, take. And it's exactly what he did. Reb Yosef Yoizel used to come in and walk over to the safe, and he told them, take whatever you want. One day, some Rosh Hashiva, finally, you know, a nice person, came to this Reb Dunish also to ask for a donation for his yeshiva. So Reb Dunish took out a nice donation and gave it to him. Prior to leaving, this Rosh Hashiva says to Reb Dunish, listen, I have a question to ask you. Do you allow me to ask you a question? So he says, yes, you can ask me. Tell me, I heard that when Reb Yosef Yoizel Nevardi comes here, you open up your safe and you tell him, take whatever you want. Listen, I am not, have no ideas that I'm this, like Reb Yosef Yoizel, but, you know, I also know a little, learned something, and I came for an important cause, and you gave me a nice donation, no complaints, but why have you not given me a bigger donation? So Reb Dunish says, listen, are you prepared to hear my answer? She says, yes, I'm prepared to hear it. So listen carefully. Before you came here, when you were in your own house, you walked to the cupboard and looking for your nice frock that you're going to wear, took it out, you put it on, and you went to your wife and your children, and you asked them, do I look good enough to go to a chushva gvir abdonish? They looked you over, yeah, you look fine, very good. Then you came here, and you knocked on the door, I could hardly hear you knocking. Why did you knock on the door? Normal. Because you were afraid. You might upset me. I'm Reb Dunish. So you knocked very quietly. Shai, I opened the door, and I said, come in, please sit down. No, you don't sit down. Why don't you sit down? You're waiting for me to sit down, Reb Dunish. You should sit down. Then you'll sit down. Tell me, you know that I'm nothing. What are you making a whole fuss of me for? You know that I don't learn, and I'm doing nothing special. What's this whole geschäft? What's this about? What is the answer? Listen carefully what my answer is. The answer is because I have a lot of money. I'm a rich person, and I have to be respected because I have a lot of money. What are you teaching me? You're teaching me that money is a very important item. Because of money, you're respecting me. So I learned from you. If money is so important, so it's important for me also. So I'm not so enthusiastic of taking it out of my pocket. I gave you a regular donation. But Reb Yosef Yoizel Nevardik, when he comes to my home, it's just the opposite. Comes in, walks straight in, knocks on the door, comes in, and he starts telling me Musa. And he says to me, listen, Reb Dunish, Who are you and what are you? Not learning, not davening. Who are you? You're lucky. HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted you some money, and you have it. At least use it. Have sense. Give it for Torah, for Tzedakah. And he makes that money so mu'us by me, so not important by me, that I open the safe and I take whatever you want. This is the example. This is what this Reb Dunish answered. Such a true answer. But what are we learning here? That even people who do learn, and who are Oivdei Hashem, they're not straightforward. They're not genuine. Everyone's playing games. Where are the Midas Tavis? Why aren't we truthful and really be the way we should be? That is the point. I'm going to tell a story which I was thinking whether to mention it, because it has to do with my own personal dream. And I don't consider myself someone to advertise my dreams. But since it's relevant for other issues, I'm going to mention it. After the World Trade Center, the Twin Towers were destroyed by the Arabs, by these terrorists. The first Shabbos after that was Parshas Netzuvim. And I had a dream. I saw the Lev Simcha, the Ger Rebbe, the Lev Simcha. I see him in my dream, Friday night. And he's sitting in a room filled with Sfurim. He's learning. And he gives me a sign that there's some Sefer that is stuck like in the Sfurim shank. It's hard to take it out. So I walk over and I see a set of the Chumashim Emek Duvor from the Netziv, and the volume Dvorim, this was Parshas Netzuvim, is stuck like inside. So I walk over and I take it out and I bring it to the Lev Simcha and put it on the table. He smiles at me and I wake up. So I remember the dream by night. The morning, the first thing, I'm running to Shtibel to find the Chumash Emek Dvorim, to look in the Tzuvim, what's written there. Sure enough, I come to Shtibel, there was Chumash Dvorim, Emek Dvorim, and I look up the Chumash, and I see there that it's written approximately from Revi and further. All of a sudden the Netziv writes, now I'm going to reveal what's going to happen before Mashiach comes. This is a literature gudel that you don't think that he'd be dealing with Mashiach. That's the topic. And he writes quite a few interesting pointers. One point that he writes is that before Mashiach comes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring to Eretz Yisrael, Kol Yisrael, but he'll start Mihamedinas Hagdoilis, and it's civil rights, it'll start from the bigger countries. So I was calculating to myself, before that, they came to Eretz Yisrael from Russia. And now, after this, World Trade Center will sort of start coming from America. He also points out at a certain point, I'm not going to go in all the details, so whoever wants can look it up, Parshas Netzuvim, Emek Dvorim, he writes, you'll see then, the safest place will be Eretz Yisrael before Mashiach comes. That's what he writes. Anyway, a very short time later, I'm in London. Come to London, and I see a kol kore, a declaration written by Harav Simcha Rubin, the Sasver Rebbe in London. And he writes there that you didn't have to repent after this episode with the World Trade Center. And he says, take note, open up the cipher, Emek Dvorim, Parshas Kisuvoi, mark my words, Parshas Kisuvoi, not Netzuvim Kisuvoi, on the Pusik V'hoyisu Meshige L'Maranechu. What will be the vision which will make you crazy? What will be the vision? So the Netziv writes, Shiyavoi Kama Shodidim, a few bandits will come, a few bandits. And you're a lot stronger than they are. And there are only a few bandits. And they will attack you, and they will be successful, and you'll be flabbergasted. How is it, Shia? These few bandits are conquering you. That's what the Nitziv writes. You'll go out of your mind from this vision. So the Sasser Rebbe writes in his Kol Kaireh. So we see the whole story of the World Trade Center is written open in Sefer Eimek Dover of the Nitziv. I was very interested in this because it seemed very, very unusual that I think I had a dream with the Eimek Dover Parshas Nesuvim, and Ramesh later on I see that the Sasser Rebbe is talking about Eimek Dover Parshas. I went into him and I told him the story. I had this dream about the Eimek Dover, and I see that you're also mentioning the Eimek Dover. See, he smiled at me. He was very, very of the Simcha. He said to me, "Nah, that's not." He didn't want to go into the explanation. But I actually saw later on that the Nitziv, before he was Nifter, the government wanted that they should start to learn all kinds of other subjects, so he closed down the yeshiva and he went to Varsha, and there he was very, very much together with all the Admorim in Varsha, and he was even Nifter in Varsha, and he's in the cemetery in Varsha. He's buried there. But what I want to tell you is that if a few people, what reminded me of this story, we just now experienced this story in Boston. Once again, two terrorists closed down a whole city. Just imagine. The Americans could not control the situation. The whole city had to be closed down. They were afraid of these two bandits. We have to learn from these experiences. If a few of us correct our ways, become better and better and better, we bring the redemption, we can bring the Yila. We just have to try to make an effort. So just take note, the Chofetz Chaim Schisi Yugen Alayni once told someone a story. The Chofetz Chaim told someone there was in a city some very rich person called Rabur. Very wealthy man. This was a big Talmud Chochem and a wealthy man. And in his city, there was a person who was a very fine person, but he pushed it, was overwhelmed. Financially, he was going down the drain, they call it in English. He couldn't manage, and everything was going to pieces. His wife begged him, "You know, Rabur helps everyone that applies to him. Go and ask for help. What should we do? We don't have an option. What should we do?" So the Chofetz Chaim says that this Rabburich was approached in the morning by this Rab Zalman, and he starts to tell him this story. This Rabburich heard these stories quite a few times, but he never hesitated for a second. He says, after years, this whole story about how he's really in bad shape, "Don't worry. What I want you to do is, 1 o'clock, I don't want you to be embarrassed. I'm closing then, that's when I close my office. Instead of going home, I'll be waiting for you. 1 o'clock, come, and I'll be waiting for you. And I'll have a check. How much do you need?" he asked him. He said, "An exaggerated amount, 1,000 ruble, he said. "No problem. I'm writing you a check for 1,000 ruble, just imagine. Come at 1 o'clock, it's waiting for you." Check, 1 o'clock, closes his office, and he's waiting for the Zalman to come. He waits and waits and waits, 1/4 hour, 1/2 hour, 3/4, Nechtigayom doesn't come. No, very funny. A person is begging you for assistance, and you tell him you're going to give him the whole amount, and he doesn't come to pick up the check. So he picks up the phone, and he says, "Reb Zalman, what happened? Where are you?" He says, "Didn't work out. I had this to take care of, this thing." You know, all kinds of excuses why he couldn't come. He says, "Okay, listen. Tomorrow afternoon at 1, once again, when I close my office, I'm waiting for you." 1 o'clock the following day, once again he's waiting and waiting and waiting. He doesn't come. So he was sure that the Zalman broke his leg on the way over there. Otherwise, how is it possible he shouldn't arrive? So he calls him up and he says, Reb Zalman, this is Geshang, what happened to you? Did you break your leg? He says, I can't imagine. He says, no, didn't break my leg, but I was busy with this and busy with that. Sure. To make a long story short, the Chofetz Chaim tells us that this Reb Zalman didn't come that day, and didn't come the following day, and didn't come the day after that. So the Chofetz Chaim quoted this Reb Urich giving an adjective on this Reb Zalman. He's not normal. He's plain not normal. I don't want to say more what he said, but this is what he said. That he's plain pusha not normal. A person has the capability to be saved financially, and the man's willing to give you the whole amount, and you don't come. Well, time said, and we do the same thing every single day. Well, time says, we stand and we come in the morning to daven. Everyone comes straight in the morning. And we start to tell you to say to Hashem, this sembili bani binu, lo hoven ela haskil. Everything. We're willing, we want to be Mekayim, all the mitzvahs, we want to learn, we want to teach, and we're telling Hashem all that we want. We want you to give us these capabilities. So the Chofetz Chaim says, Hashem is willing to grant us immediately all that we ask for. And what do? Just imagine. This is the highlight. Whatever we're asking, we give us saicho, give us to learn and to be able to teach, etc., etc. And what happens? You know what happens? We go home after davening, we kished, we gave a kiss to the siddur, and we forgot the whole story. We don't open a book, hardly learn anything. What happened? You asked for so much, and we're willing to give it to you. What? Yeah. Very good. Listen, we're not talking, I'm not talking to myself. I'm not talking to you either. I'm talking to strengthen what the Chofetz Chaim is saying. Chofetz Chaim is saying that the proportion of what we're really doing and what we should be doing is a long, long distance. It's not at all the same. It's a different story. Everyone can give themselves compliments. You know, I do this and I do that. But after 120 years, when we go up there, we start to say, oh, what do you want? I should have the biggest tonight. You know. I learn and I dive. You know, he has the whole list of everything he was doing. We're far, far off from where we should be. That's the real truth. That's what the Chofetz Chaim was trying to get forward, that in reality, what we're doing compared to what we're asking Hashem to give us power to do is a very big difference. At any rate, we have to ask for Hashem. I want to end, finish my... I understand I'm not supposed to go too far. It's an interesting point that it says in Sefer Eretz Zvi. Eretz Zvi was the Koshel of Aruva. I don't know if you know about this. He was the Meshgiach in Yeshivas Chachma Lablin. And he wrote in his Sefer a very interesting story that it was mentioned the Yehide HaKodesh said that he heard the Kol Shofar of Mashiach. Mashiach comes, we hear a Kol Shofar. So he said, the Yehide HaKodesh, that he already heard the Kol Shofar. How is it possible Mashiach didn't come? What do you mean you heard the Kol Shofar? So he asked the Avner Naizer, the Sochatshover Rebbe, the Avner Naizer, what could be the explanation for this? So the Sochatshover Rebbe answered him, you should know that a lot of Rebbes gave dates when Mashiach is going to come. As a matter of fact, the Malbim wrote in his Pirish, in his commentary on Daniel, at least three or four dates, he writes there, one Mashiach, for sure will come. And a lot of Rebbes wrote, what is the explanation at the end Mashiach didn't come? It wasn't that they were not right, that it was a time where Mashiach could have come if the Eden would have really behaved better. But we weren't worthy, so he didn't come. He says, but that Shimon Bar Yochui, who wrote the Zohar, he can't write dates without them having a backing. And we find three open dates in Zohar. And he quotes the Hetzvi. Bishnas Tach, 408. Bishnas Tar, 600. We're talking about 5,000, either 5,408, 5,600, or two Freish Samach Vuv. These dates, 661, 66, he writes these three dates, and he quotes exactly where the Zohar says that Mashiach will come in these three dates. And Mashiach didn't come. How's it possible? The answer is, I have no idea in Kabbalah, but I'm just stating what Avnon Eisner said. There's a certain knowledge that there are four worlds, actually. They're called Avia. Avia means Atzilis, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. We're Oilem Asiya. Now, I'm not going to go into explanation what this is, but the idea is, he says, that when Hashem decreed that we're going in Gulis, that we're going to be in exile, that Hashem decreed this on all the four Oilemis. So Mashiach has to go in all the four Oilemis to bring the Gilad, to bring our redemption. So you should know, the Avnei Zohar said, that Mashiach went, in those 3 days that the Zohar writes Mashiach is going to make a redemption, he did go to make a redemption. Oilem Atzilis, Oilem Asiyah, Avia Abriya, and Yetzira. These three, he went. And that's why you'll check that these 3 dates are the 3 times where he went to make the redemption, on these 3 worlds. But here, Oilem Asiyah, in our world, he hasn't arrived yet. So Memele, that's why they're mentioned in Zohar. In the merit that we will make a major, major effort to increase our learning, and increase in Davin with more kavuna, and working on our middos, which is the vital thing by Klal Yisrael. All our problems with each other is because we get angry very fast, we're conceited, we have all these murdig and middos toivis, they call it. And Hashem should help, and that's this, we should have the gilish lime and harmon umay.